Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Cat Context podcast for Wednesday, February 27th. My name is Lior, and today we are going to cast our minds back to a simpler time when polygons were low and our valleys were all canny. There have been a few really good wins for retro gaming scene in the last couple of weeks, and I think all of us here have some old favorites that have never really fallen out of style. So today in Cat Context, we're going old school and talking about retro gaming. With me today, as usual, are Arrow and Alindril. Arrow, I know you are a huge fan of the retro gaming, so are you psyched for this episode?
I am always psyched for every episode, but particularly for this one.
That was an excellent answer.
Wasn't that great? I'm such a suck-up.
How about you, Ellie? How you doing? And you're looking forward to retro games?
Sure, why not?
Way to counter Arrow's enthusiasm. Well, a couple of old favorites have reappeared on the scene in the last couple of weeks. First of all, Namco Bandai, which I think I am pronouncing correctly, but is also fun to say, brought back the Tamagotchi. In this case, it is only for Android. Yeah, suck it, iPhone.
We can emulate it if we really care.
Yeah, but that would require caring about a Tamagotchi.
I just love that we're leading the show with Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
That's clearly the biggest story of the week.
What? It's the...
So how many have you gone through so far?
I kept my Tamagotchi alive for like a week and 2 days. I'll have you know. And then I went to the gym for an hour and came back and it grew legs and died.
That's what you get.
I know. That's what I get for like maintaining basic levels of health and hygiene. Damn you, Tamagotchi.
Yeah, you're supposed to be maintaining your little piles of binary poop.
How come you didn't do it while you were on the treadmill?
Yeah.
I'm a bad virtual parent. Anyway, aside from the Tamagotchis, which are incredibly important, also last week, System Shock 2 became available for us to play. It's currently on Good Old Games, GOG.com, and rumor has it will be hitting Steam soon. And this is the classic from 1999 that was kind of held back for a while under a protracted legal battle over rights, and they have sorted it out, and it is here. I don't know if either of you had a chance to play it either back in the day or now.
I have not, but I know it's one of Mr. Arrow's favorites.
It is definitely of the genre that people love, in the same way that people love Deus Ex, and I have also never gotten through a Deus Ex game.
I did have the chance to play it a bit earlier this weekend. And it's very cool. It's clearly extremely old, like the tutorials, sort of things that we take for granted now. Like, it was like, if you look in the corner, your health bar will go dark as you lose health. And I'm like, really? Tell me more. And it's extremely reminiscent of Bioshock. And of course, it was the same fellow who did System Shock 2 and Bioshock, so that is understandable. But I mean, you get a pipe wrench in the first minute. You're running around dark corridors, hitting things that kind of look like splicers or slicers, whatever, on the head. And you have to, you know, kind of, oh no, this door is blocked, so now I have to run around the long way to get the key. It reminded me a lot of Bioshock 1, in a good way. And it's $10 on Grand Old Games right now, so it's a pretty good deal if you like that.
Yeah, so I also heard that the part of it, this whole thing that actually interested me way more was the technical reasons for it not actually having come out. And I don't actually... I'm not in a position to talk about them, but apparently they had to build a special emulator because it has never been able to run since Windows 95 or 98 or whatever was current when it came out, and nobody has been able to, like, you know, easily get it running in a good post XP world. So I think that, like, there was the legal battle aspect of it and also the technical aspect, and honestly, I find that sort of stuff is more interesting to me than either playing the game or hearing people talk about a 20-year-old game like it's the best game that came out this year.
Wow, you're really not into this whole retro game thing, are you?
No, that's so not true. That is totally not true. So this is my problem, and it's been my problem for a while, and it's also my problem in relation to the other actual big game news of this week, which is the PlayStation 4. I'm really kind of annoyed at having to constantly buy my games again. I don't know, we've talked about it before, where, like, we're in that age group now where the things that were cool, you know, 15 years ago when we were kids are now being leveraged against us now that we have money and or kids to foist our likes on. it's okay, and I'm actually in a lot of ways glad that I can go back and play those without having to also dig up like a, you know, 486 PC or something to try and run Doom on without it rendering way too fast. But I mean, I don't know how many re-releases of Doom HD can you come out with?
How many people are going to buy it?
I mean, that's one of the things, right? Like, so you couldn't play System Shock 2 even if you own the discs. I couldn't play, I don't know, a bunch of the games I have even if I own the discs, because I have to downclock my CPU so greatly at this point to make them render in anything like a useful way that I probably couldn't run my operating system.
Have you tried emulators like DOSBox or ScumVM?
I've run a lot of emulators for NES. I've run SNES and Genesis and TurboGrafx-16 emulators, MAME emulators. So certainly it is a thing that I have done. I don't know. It's weird because it's all kind of juxtaposed with the fact that I'm at the point where I kind of want to pay for things rather than just downloading the entire catalog of NES ROMs.
But you don't want to buy it again.
But I also don't want to pay for them again, yeah.
Basically, you're an asshole who's never happy.
Have you met me?
Touché.
I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, it takes one to know one here. I'm just saying, you're whining about a lot of things that you can fix.
I like this. Is this the pick on Ellie episode? Because I feel like I got a raw deal last week, but I can get down with this.
Whatever. At least I'm that old.
whatever. Pull up your pants.
No, I actually really like the Virtual Console. I bought some stuff on the Wii Virtual Console. I bought several things on like Xbox Live Arcade. I think we even talked about how we were playing Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. And after we played it, I went back and totally beat it again, by the way. I just, like, it's frustrating to have to buy them more than once, I guess.
Oh, I totally agree.
Those are the pieces that frustrate me. So System Shock being purchasable now is actually nice in a lot of ways. But, I mean, it's fine, but then somebody will come out with the HD version of System Shock 2 and also the PlayStation 4 version of System Shock 2 and then expect us to buy them over and over again, and that frustrates me.
If they've changed it, I mean, if they've actually overhauled the graphics or whatever, that's one thing. For me, GOG is important because, and I don't mind purchasing things again, because it's better than having to keep a 3.5-inch floppy drive in my PC, which I don't even think my motherboard would support that now. It's also, like, all of the games that I love are from that period where they were so OMG privacy that there's the game-breaking copy protection that's in the manual, like, what's the third word of paragraph 2 on page 26? And I don't have those anymore.
Well, we don't have manuals anymore, so...
Well, GOG lets you download those. Like, I still play my old LucasArts and Sierra games through DOSBox or whatever. Scum runs pretty well under Windows 7. But it's, I mean, really hard to dig up my manual for Afterlife, God forbid, and try and remember how to break the copy protection on that game. So not only do I not have to convince these games that I'm still running a 386 with a Sound Blaster 16, but I still have all the stupid crap built into the game so I can get past the copy protection.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable. I mean, I know this is probably part of the larger topic that we might talk about later, but I have consistently found myself to be disappointed when I've gone back and actually played those games that were really fun at the time.
I find for me, for retro gaming, it's less games that I played before and that I want to play again, but more the games that I missed the first time and, you know, System Shock 2 or Star Wars Galaxy or whatever that I did not experience and that I want to experience now. So maybe that's a setup for a more satisfying experience. I think it was Final Fantasy VII, I think, that came out with a, I don't know, better graphics version last year for PC or something. And I mean, I'm not... I don't know, I kind of like that.
Also, here's the thing, and we're going to get a lot of angry comments about this. Final Fantasy VII is not actually a good game.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
The reason I believe all of the people who think that Final Fantasy VII is the best Final Fantasy, because it's not, are saying so out of nostalgia, which leads into our later topic. Because it's the first one that many people remember that's indelible in their minds, because that was the PlayStation 1. It was, you know, kids were in high school and college, so it's, you know, the most formative part of their memory. So they think of it a lot rosier than it was. I mean, you guys, that it was a half-finished piece of crap.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
No, look, Final Fantasy VII was one of my favorite Final Fantasy games because it was my first one. That's absolutely true.
Right.
It's also the first one that didn't look like it belonged on an NES.
I could see that also. Still not the best game.
The graphics at the time were really, really cool. The cutscenes were also really cool. And all of those things are what made it important to me, right? So, I mean, like, that's the thing about nostalgia and retro games in general, is the games that are important to any given person are the ones that they want to go back and play or have access to.
Interestingly enough, I have Final Fantasy X here in my house on a PlayStation 2, and I've only put a few hours into it, because if I could play it on something else that wasn't a PlayStation 2, I would probably play it more.
You can actually get a PlayStation 2 emulator and a ROM and play it on your PC.
I would argue that that is the best way to play it, unless you happen to have access to a, you know, old 60 gig PS3.
Well, now that we've kind of just sort of basically touched on retro gaming, we mentioned talking about nostalgia, but I want to do the good stuff first, which is talking about some of our favorite retro games that we would still play now or do still play now. I put the question out on Twitter about what retro games people are playing that they enjoy. And a few things we had back. We had Jason, who is at Mr. Christie, who said that when he was a kid, he and his best friend stayed up for 24 hours to beat Bionic Commando, which I thought was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Bionic Commando is great! There's a new version in the Xbox Live Arcade with fancy graphics and everything, and it's so weird and awesome.
Ro, who is at Mr. Moneda, said that his favorite old game is Anachronox, which I'd actually not heard of, but looks pretty cool. Adult in its themes and humor, and the stylized art that wasn't afraid of color. It was a turn-based game, which was pretty neat. And our Gildy Gabroni recommended Star Control as his favorite old-school game, which seemed to make Arrow very happy.
Yay, Star Control!
This goes back to a different question that I had. What qualifies as a retro game?
Anything released before the current console cycle, or I would say, I don't know, 5-10 years PCs.
Yeah, I would say 10 years, roughly. But actually be less than that, maybe 5.
So WoW's a pretty good retro game.
No, it's got current development, doesn't count.
Yeah, I agree with Era.
But my dwarf looks the same as my dwarf looked in 2003.
I didn't say it was current good development.
The answer to that is to play a goblin.
Well, there are lots of answers to that.
Yeah, I would go with 5 years with no development. That seems reasonable. So, okay, so given that it's retro games and there are some suggestions from other people, so what retro games, I don't know, have you played recently, or what sort of stands out? What would you play if it appeared in front of you? I know Era has answers, so I'm going to ask Ellie first.
Man, it's hard to say. I think I'm in a totally different place gaming-wise than I was 10 years ago. A lot of the things that I enjoy now are not the things that I enjoyed then. And a lot of things that I enjoyed then are things that I would not enjoy now. For instance, Duke Nukem 3D, which was a hilarious game at the time, but I was 15 or 16 years old, and now I don't think I would enjoy it nearly as much.
I made levels for Duke Nukem 3D based on my place of employment.
That is amazing and awesome.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, because I could say a bunch of stuff that came out in the original Half-Life engine, right? So I could say Half-Life, for instance, Counter-Strike, and those games are pushing 10 years or more than 10 years old now, I guess, which makes me feel old.
Welcome to my world.
Those games I still play on occasion. I have tried and tried and tried to play a bunch of other games of the 2000s, early to mid-2000s. Even the late 90s recently, and I just can't do it.
Is it a matter of being time-consuming, or is it just too confusing, or...?
some of it is certainly my hesitancy to get involved into games that I know are like, you know, 60 to 80 hour games. It's a lot harder for me to pick those games and go for them, despite being an MMO player and probably having spent 60 hours this month playing games. It seems so daunting when you look at a game and you know how long it's going to take, right? I mean, I don't know, for me it is. But yeah, I don't know. My retro gaming library is really small. Like, I love playing arcade-style games still. If somebody dropped a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat machine in front of me, I would totally play the shit out of it for hours.
All right, I know that Arrow actually does play retro games. So what have you been? What do you like?
I've been fidgeting in my chair, waiting to answer. Is it my turn? Yeah, is it my turn?
It's your turn. Go.
God, where do you want me to start? The entire Sierra catalog still holds up really well. I think part of the deal with retro gaming is you have to make sure that it's a game with a story that holds up well. Like this week, I've been playing through Gabriel Knight, which is so much fun. The point-and-click adventures never get old for me. It doesn't matter how many times I've played them, if they're well-written, if they're well-acted, and Gabriel Knight has Tim Curry, you can't really argue with that. It just, I can play them over and over and over, and I never get tired of them.
Even though you know the puzzles?
Even though I know the puzzles, because the stories are so fun. I really love the AGD Interactive overhauls of King's Quest and Quest for Glory that make them all pretty and act them out in the text adventures, and still the same game. One of my family's favorite games is a really, really terrible game. It's called Phantasmagoria, and people have either heard of it, and when I mention it, they laugh and laugh and laugh, or no one's ever heard of it before.
I have played that game.
God, it's so bad. Isn't it awesome?
It was a really dumb game, yeah. I think it was also like one of those games that like got so much negative press and was like banned all over the place, and people were freaking out about it.
It's just it's a family thing for us, because, you know, when this came out, there was no such thing as the internet. There was no game facts, so we were stuck on one puzzle for months. It was hilarious. And to this day, you can walk into my house or any member of my extended family's house and tell them that mortar is best removed with a narrow scrapling implement, and someone will scream and try to punch you in the face.
You know, that's a good point. I remember as a kid being given a mission by my mother to find out who else at school played King's Quest 2 because we couldn't get through a certain quest. She's like, you ask everyone. We have to find someone else who has cut through this.
Because we're certainly not calling the 900 number for the Sierra Hint Line. Are you kidding? That's like $5 a minute.
Oh, hell no.
That's pretty awesome. I feel like Phantasmagoria was one of those games that, like, kids somehow got and then installed, like, deep, deep in hidden DOS folders that, you know, even with hidden attributes on the folder so that their parents couldn't find out that they actually had it installed.
Oh, man, we played it as a family.
Yeah, like we've discussed the differences in our families before. My parents are not gamers.
That does sound like the treatment that I gave Leisure Suit Larry, so.
Oh, yeah, I did that with Leisure Suit Larry. Although, that game also does not hold up. The game is so bad. It's just really bad. Like, subject matter aside, it's just a bad game.
Yeah, and it's a fine line between games that hold up, regardless of their silliness. I mean, I fully admit that Phantasmagoria does not hold up. It's a terrible game that I only play for nostalgia. But, I mean, things like Quest for Glory, always great. Regardless of whether you're playing the, you know, the 8-color, what spelling of Rumpelstiltskin, oh, that's King's Quest, what spelling of Rumpelstiltskin you need when, and still great, all the time.
Oh, that is King's Quest, and my left eye just started twitching as you said that.
I swear to God, every time you install it, it picks a different spelling of Rumpelstiltskin.
I guess we should probably talk about nostalgia and hindsight now, because we keep alluding to it through this. Because, I mean, that's a huge part of retro gaming, is the nostalgia and looking back. And I think oftentimes that doesn't work out. And particularly in reference to a couple weeks ago, I discovered the Star Wars Galaxies emulator.
You're the devil.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it was I mean, I never played Star Wars Galaxies, but I mean, it's sort of held up as the one that got away in my mind. And I wish I had played it. And I still wish I had played it, you know, with like the crafting and the in-depth, the housing and just all this really cool stuff. So when I found the emulator, I was like, holy crap, Arrow and Ellie and anyone else I can sucker into this. We need to download this emulator and we need to party like it's 2003. So we did. And I will let you guys give your impressions, but I get the feeling that I know as a new player, that shit's hard, yo.
Fuck yeah.
And as a returning player, I'm not sure it lived up to your retro nostalgia expectations.
So here's the thing about Galaxies. I have these shiny, rosy memories of playing paper dolls and decorating my house and, you know, basically The Sims in an MMO that doesn't suck. And I was really excited to have the opportunity to do that again, but I forgot all of the bullshit that you have to go through to get to that point.
It takes 200 hours. 200 hours to get to that point.
I have like 50 credits to my name and I have a survey macro, but I can't afford the training, and I feel like too much of a dweeb to go and ask someone to apprentice me.
Oh my god, I know.
So I'm trying to wait for my timer to be up so I can roll a character with combat skills and go take the fighter missions.
But also remember that the fighter missions are shitty, shitty, shitty.
Yeah.
And give you like 300 credits when you do it, so...
Unless you skill up and go to Endor, and yeah.
So Star Wars Galaxies came out in, what was it, 2019? No, it was like 2003, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right? So there's 10 years, and I would never recommend anybody play Star Wars Galaxies today, because it's bad. Arrow got it. Arrow's exactly right. You just like sit there for hours and hours and hours and just spam whatever your fastest recharging spell that you can do is and like shoot past the thing's leg.
And I feel like that would have been really cool back in the day when we were all younger and there was like a vibrant community and everyone had a guild. But as like a new character who just sort of gets spit out in the face of the planet, it's a lot less fun.
I forgot there like aren't trainers in that game.
There are, but it's incredibly expensive.
Right. Okay, so like when WoW came out, WoW had quests, right? Every game today, even games that shouldn't have quests, have quests. They have exclamation points, and they have question marks, and they have indicators of where you should go. None of that stuff existed in Star Wars Galaxies.
There were quests. The quests were only from randomly, for some reason, tiny Leia up in the corner of Corellia. I'm serious. Yeah, for some reason, the NPCs were all half the size of characters. I don't know why.
So everything comes with like a huge real life time cost. And it's a lot of them are explicitly time costs. And at the end, you get like 300 credits. And like a gun, like the cheapest gun you can find at somebody's shop is probably 10,000.
Level one skills at the basic level, not even at the advanced level, are 1,000 credits. From a trainer.
It is a brutal game, but at the time it was leagues better than a lot of the other games. I mean, I skipped EverQuest. I played around in Asheron's Call.
It was so much better than DAOC. It was just astonishing.
Right. And it actually, like, graphically, it doesn't look as bad as I expected it to. Like, it doesn't look great, but it looks all right. I mean, it doesn't look that much worse than Warcraft.
It's still the best crafting and customization MMO out there.
And economics. You could hire a droid to actually man your thing while you weren't there, so you didn't have to like literally stand around in your store to interact with people.
Right.
Which sounds great. A crafting, customization, and economy MMO. I mean, oh my god, I want to play that. And then I played one night of Star Wars Galaxies, and then I played a second night where I actually played Terra while I macro farmed in Star Wars Galaxies.
Yep.
And I was like, I feel like this might not be working out for me as a long-term option.
So you know how you macro farmed? That's literally the game.
Yeah, someone described it as the best game you'll ever bought, which I thought was a good description. So what it sounds like what you guys are saying is the nostalgia, like the game was good. It is actually just the passage of time and whatnot that makes it less entertaining now.
It's having to start over because it's... I don't want to say it's that the end game is good. I'm air quoting like Ellie now. I might even knock my headset off. I'm air quoting so hard. Because there isn't really an end game. But getting to the point where you've got money to burn, however you've done that, then the game becomes awesome. It is the best paper doll ever.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It is definitely playing on nostalgia. I don't think that that game is only good or was only good in my mind, in my like nostalgic mind. I also think that there's been 10 years of refinement for MMOs, right? Like, people want different things. People expect different things. Even those of us that played those games expect something different.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. You know, there are still games that stand the test of time, but I think nostalgia does color things. Like, I think if I was to sit down in front of Half-Life right now, I think it would still be good.
I think it's still pretty good. Is Half-Life objectively better than Half-Life 2?
I don't know. Objectively, that's a tough one. I would say yes, Half-Life's better than Half-Life 2. But I like kind of the creepy stuff more than the gravity gun stuff, so.
Sure. I mean, gameplay-wise, though, I think Half-Life 2 is better. Engine-wise, I think Half-Life 2 is better. I think story-wise, Half-Life 1 is better. Or story and environment? Theme? Whatever that word is? Ambiance?
Atmosphere?
Atmosphere. There you go. Yeah, I think Half-Life 1 is a better game for all of that stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. That really stood out with System Shock, too. Like, the atmosphere in System Shock is outstanding. I mean, you know, but you still have, I mean, the faces are hysterical. They're just sort of paper dolls slammed in half and inventory Tetris and all the old things that you hate, but really good atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, although, you know, there are a few games with good atmosphere, and I think those are the games that we would all talk about as holding up better than the others. Because I think, generally speaking, gameplay has gotten better.
All right, I'm going to have to go find a PS2 emulator. So what has this podcast wrought?
If you find a working PS2 emulator, I have a whole big list of games I think you'd really like. It starts
Is
with,
one of them Beyond Good and Evil?
Well, actually, it starts with Fatal Frame and ends with Fatal Frame.
Oh.
Come on, those are like made for Lior.
I so want to play Fatal Frame. That looks so awesome.
So the other thing I have, like, just lastly on retro gaming and buying them is, so it's hard because there's another like hypocritical moment here, right? Like, I'll pay $3 for a shitty iOS game, but I don't know that I want to go spend like $6 or $7 on Gabriel Knight, which is what it costs on GOG.
Being more willing to spend money on new stuff than on old stuff. I might be the opposite in that, you know, like something like Gabriel Knight. I mean, that's a legendary game. You hear that, you know, those games being talked about all the time. So for me, that sounds like a surefire bet.
Also Tim Curry.
As opposed to, you know, I don't know, something new that comes out that I can't think of. Oh, God, what was that?
Terra.
We'll get to Terra. Don't you worry. We'll get there. But as opposed to newer games that come out that I need to sit and wait and see if they're going to be any good before I will spend, you know, the equivalent amount of money on them.
$6? $6 is like a shoe-in for me to buy a game these days.
Unless it's an old game that's really awesome.
That's right. I don't know why.
It's because you can't be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I also liked, I feel like part of why I buy the $5 indie games and stuff is to support those developers, and buying an Activision game makes me feel sad. Buying a Sierra game, like, is Sierra even still a company?
No.
Right, so, I mean, I'm not supporting the developers of Gabriel Knight to make another Gabriel Knight game when I buy Gabriel Knight.
Jane Jensen had a Kickstarter. And it's she's making another one, and it's really awesome looking.
Well, that's good. I have different thoughts on Kickstarter, so that's cool.
He hates that, too.
Yes, make another game, but don't use Kickstarter.
I'm conflicted about Kickstarter, but I don't want to talk about it now.
We'll talk about that next time.
All right, well, let's go to 2013. Aside from Borderlands 2, what have you been playing the last 2 weeks, Ellie?
So we talked about Battle Cats last time, and I actually have continued to play that.
Oh my god!
Randomly, I just wanted to bring that up for you. And Borderlands 2, which I have also played, and then played on Xbox. Also, that's cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What else have you been playing?
I don't know. What have you been playing?
I think you've been playing the game that you gave me a hard time about last time. So let's hear about that.
Okay, so I've been playing Terra, and kind of obsessively creating characters for it. which is a serious problem that I have anyway. Terra is a really... It's a hard game for me because visually it's terrible. It looks pretty. It looks really pretty. The animations are nice and smooth, but there are like 4-year-old girls with shorter mini skirts than literally anybody would be able to go outside in. It's a terrible game with like terrible values, and I feel bad for promoting it. But the gameplay is really fun. It's different from MMOs, standard MMO. You don't have a mouse cursor for the most part. You have like a targeting crosshair. And you still press buttons like you do in an MMO, but you actually have to block or are able to block or dodge. And the combat is just interactive. And I really, really like playing that game. And I really, really like feeling bad about myself for playing that game.
Yes, I quit playing WoW because of Terra. Because it fills that need. Here's the tragedy of Terra. Like you said, it's an incredibly well-built game. It runs the smoothest probably of any MMO aside from WoW that I've encountered. It's pretty. It's got some interesting mob design. The combat is really, really cool. And the character models, the player character models, are wackadoo.
I mean, they're well done. They're just, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sort of attempting to... I'm attempting to look at it from the perspective of its over-the-top nature makes it funny to me. I'm pretty sure that makes me a hipster.
I think Dead or Alive is hilarious for that reason, so I'm not going to throw stones.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. That's actually a really good comparison.
Is it?
In the early versions of Dead or Alive, there was actually an option in the settings where you could turn off the jiggle, and I did that. I think it was the first Dead or Alive game, and then I went to try and play it again, and it was totally not fun. It's the over-the-top bullshit that makes it hilarious.
Yeah, and Dead or Alive constantly, their developers constantly talk about their, like, sweet new boob physics and stuff like that.
And I have respect for people who don't even front.
I mean, that's true, right? Like that is one thing here, is, like, you cannot say that Terra characters are sexy by accident. That's what they wanted to make. That's what they're making. And they are not, it's completely unabashedly that way.
Right. I was kind of thinking about why am I playing Terra? I think that a lot. But why am I playing Terra and these character models make me laugh? And why, when I look at the Wildstar character models, do I feel cranky? And I think the difference is because of that. Because the Wildstar character models, you know, they're aiming for a Western audience and they're not really, that's not their thing. Whereas Terra, that's kind of like their over-the-top thing. I mean, there's like naked statues in the middle of the main city and stuff. I mean, it's so far beyond the top, we go around in a circle. That's not sort of Wildstar's shtick. They're more like, you know, they're trying to do a Firefly Western-ish shtick. So when I see, you know, the robot with giant robot cone boobs, it makes me frustrated more than seeing, I don't know, a goat woman in Terra wearing an outfit that looks like a combination between lingerie and a chandelier.
Confessions here. I have problems with picking a character and sticking to it. That's not news to either of you, but, you know, it is just true. I made a hamster who can apparently have a handlebar mustache, which is hilarious.
I want a hamster with a handlebar mustache.
Oh, I know. It's amazing.
We play Terra, but we're full of shame about it. So, Arrow, what have you been playing lately, and does it have preteen girls in bikini bottoms?
I don't have anything with preteen girls in bikini bottoms. I've been playing retro games in preparation for today. So that's basically all I've got. I don't have much time for current gaming right now, mostly because my computer is usually being used as a jukebox by the Tiny Tyrant. So whatever I can get away with on the laptop is what's going on.
What's been the big game this week?
I was playing Gabriel Knight. Also, still working on my Coder PC playthrough.
You're what now?
Coder.
I don't know that game.
The First Knights of the Old Republic. Right. Sorry.
Nope. That's totally reasonable.
I was trying to conserve words. It's after my bedtime. What else was I playing? I hooked up the Genesis a couple of weeks ago and haven't unhooked it since. And oh my god, I'm so terrible at everything.
Do you own Aladdin?
Yes. I own many, many, many games that are making me sad and tired. I can't beat the first map on Sonic Spinball. Damn it!
Sonic Spinball, that was a game I played hours of.
It's so hard. Jurassic Park is the only one I've been able to make a dent in because, really, playing as the Velociraptor is, which, by the way, not a Velociraptor, is the way to go. And it's basically playing on easy mode, if there is such a thing as easy mode for a Genesis game.
Yeah, so what was the deal with Genesis being like the hardcore gamer version of all of the exact same games that were on Super Nintendo?
I have no idea. But it was.
It totally was.
Star Control on the Genesis. Holy shit. I don't know if there's a PC version or not, but I remember we played it on the Genesis, and that a turn-based builder strategy with the Genesis controller, that's, I mean, really, it's hell. There's no other way to put that.
Everybody go hook up a Genesis. Honestly, the Genesis controller, all told, was pretty terrible.
It was so much better than the NES, though. I mean, that square box is terrible for your hands. It was such a nice change with the Genesis.
But the Genesis didn't really compete with the NES, right? It more competed with the Super Nintendo.
That was the other 16-bit one. I don't know which one came out first. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's certainly better than the I have a rectangle with extra pointy edges.
Wikipedia tells me that the Genesis was out 2 years before the Super Nintendo.
That seems reasonable.
I have not been playing any games on Genesis, but what I did play was Firefall, which was open beta this weekend, so I think I can talk about it. And it was okay. I don't know. I played like an hour and a half of it.
Firefall? You played Firefall?
I did play Firefall, and it was adequate.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that I played one of the early betas, so let's just say I played the open beta.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun to like fly around with a jetpack.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, the character design is cool. I like the gravity. I like shooting things. I think of all the kind of action multiplayer games with PlanetSide 2 and Defiance and Firefall. Firefall probably looks like the most fun, but on the other hand, I never really got the point of what the game was about.
Having played Terra, I'm now more excited about Neverwinter Online, because Neverwinter Online is supposed to have a similar action element to its combat.
But it's D&D. What?
Don't worry about it. It is D&D based. From what I have read, it is, I mean, it's not going to be like Neverwinter 2 or Neverwinter 1 or Baldur's Gate or turn-based D.
But those were so great. Why would you not want to do that?
I think that they're worried how that would work in an MMO situation. Probably rightfully so. It's hard enough when I sit around the table and wait for my friends to like figure out what the hell they're going to do with their like six options on their character sheet. If I had to do that with randoms in some sort of event, I think I would quit and never come back.
All right, we have to wrap this up because I have to go play Final Fantasy X on my computer. Okay, so if you want to tell us about your favorite retro games or, I don't know, tell us that we're wrong about Terra or tell Era that she's wrong about Final Fantasy VII, you can do so by calling us at 347-565-4673 or 347-56-LEOR. You can also email us at podcast@leorblog.com or you can tweet me at Leores, L-I-O-R-E-S. We take many methods of feedback. You can find us online at leorblog.com/catcontextpodcast or click on podcast in the main menu. We are also on iTunes. If you are on iTunes, if you listen to us on iTunes, please consider giving us a rating. It actually makes a pretty big difference as far as our listenership, and it makes us feel special. Arrow, thanks for talking about retro games, and Ellie, thanks for talking about how you hate retro games.
Ellie's just a hater.
I don't even hate them.
Uh-huh.
I don't even hate them. Also, Arrow, I should have said this midstream, but I think you're right about Final Fantasy, because I think both Final Fantasy VIII and Final Fantasy X are clearly better games than VII.
Okay, now you're just fucking with me because VIII is terrible.
All right, I'm turning off recording now. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.